It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alpha, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love lies, feline, with a death wish.
We'll get to CJ Stroud's comments here shortly on the game against the Colts. Texans try to sweep the Colts and avoid losing at home to them like they did last year. It'd be nice to get to 6-2 and really kind of put the division away with the Colts at 4-4 and you holding the tiebreaker against them. But after the Rockets game, which was disappointing, you let Charlotte come in and win, it's always disappointing. I watched Strange Darling. It's getting great reviews if you care about what Rotten Tomatoes thinks. I think it's at 95%. It is a movie that I went in kind of blind. I knew some of the actors because I just watch a lot of stuff. So I recognize the actress who's a star. She was in the Jack Reacher show the first season. She's been in some other stuff. And Kyle Gallner, who is the male lead, has been in a lot of stuff. It's one of those guys. He's a that guy. You'll recognize the face even if you don't know the name. If you like violence and sex games, it's for you. And I won't give anything away because there's a twist in it, but that's where I can leave you. Violence, sex games, and blood. If you're into that sort of thing in a movie capacity, you can keep whatever you think about it in reality to yourself, I guess. But if you like it on the screen, that movie's for you. It was pretty good. Interesting concept, but other than that, anything else I would say would like kind of lead you down a path where you would know what's going to happen.
So you said if I like violence,
blood, and sex games, yes,
okay,
on TV,
or
in a movie. If you like it in your personal life, well, so be it.
Maybe you like
maybe you like the movie, but if you like it, if you like to watch it on screen,
okay,
then it's for you.
Okay,
yeah. It was interesting to see the setup and the reveal and all that went into it. So, Strange Darling, I would recommend if you are not squeamish. Because it sets it up as like it's a final girl type deal, final girl. All the horror movies generally they'll have one girl who survives. It sets it up that way. And then you'll watch and see if that's what the movie is actually about or not. So, we'll see. We'll see if you enjoy it. Maybe we'll talk to Michael about it. Michael probably won't have watched it because he's not a big...
He doesn't like violence, gore, sex games.
It's not really a horror movie, but...
I don't know how he feels about...
Sex games on screen?
We'll ask.
It'd be awkward. I think that would be awkward.
First question.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, what do you think about sex games? On screen. The pregnant pause, see what he actually says.
Yeah. And just then let him fill answer that.
Yeah.
And then if he needs more context, we'll give it to him.
Yeah, exactly. I can't see the name, but apparently someone wants to talk about something close to my heart. Is it the city of Miami? Is it a Miami team? Pena, what's up, man?
Yeah, what up, Dale? I'm pretty sure I want to talk about. I'm pretty sure you know what I want to also talk about, props. How do you like Cam Ward going for over 248 and a half yards against FSU? And, hey, yesterday I was doing some laundry and I started folding clothes and I was scrolling through Netflix. I didn't know that this movie existed. And I'm a big fan of, what's his name? Damn. Oh, Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington, Two Guns. That was a pretty entertaining movie. It's not the best in the world, but it was very entertaining. I don't know if you watched it or not. Pretty sure you have. But if you have, let me know if you have. Thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, man. I've seen Two Guns. It's fun.
Two Guns is a really good
movie. That's an entertaining movie. I like it.
Really entertaining movie.
So, in fact, the fact that you mention it, I mean, I get home at about 1:30. Maybe I'll just watch Two Guns today while I'm eating lunch. Appreciate that, Payne. As far as the prop, I would take over for Cam Ward's number. 248 is that number. He hasn't thrown for less than 300 yards in a game where he played the full game. I think he might have left at the half against either Ball State or Florida A&M, so he didn't get to that number. But I expect, I would expect that number to be each easily, unless it's such a comprehensive blowout and Miami's run the ball down their throat in the first half. They get Cam Ward out of there, which would mean the Miami defense would actually have to get some stops. The Florida State offense is not good. They'll be probably playing two quarterbacks, Luke Krumholz and Brock Lynn. They're both inexperienced. They played against Duke, didn't score a lot of points. Brock Lynn turned the ball over quite a bit. So
if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Unless you're the 2006 Florida Gators.
Yeah. Although, that wasn't like a
he wasn't,
controversy. The roles were clearly defined.
Yes, because one had a specific skill set and the other didn't. And they made it work. I will tell you this, Mike Norvell, no Urban Meyer. He's not. He won't be balancing the skill sets of Brock Lynn and Luke Krumholz to the level that Chris Leaf and Tim Tebow did back in the national title.
He probably already has more losses at Florida State.
Of course he does.
No, than Urban had at Florida.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Because the first couple of years were lean years. He was trying to recover from what Willie Taggart did, and well before Willie Taggart even.
Maybe Urban like all time.
Jimbo Fisher. Urban Meyer doesn't have many.
He didn't lose. He didn't lose a lot.
Yeah, that was the point.
I mean, hey, listen. Obviously, there's some not great stuff with Urban Meyer.
Obviously.
The guy could coach. Most of the time,
that's all that matters. He could coach. And all-time losses at Florida for Urban Meyer, what do we have?
15.
And he only has 32 overall.
Yeah. Florida State, Mike Norvell has 23 losses.
Clearly more losses.
Give him a couple years.
He has one less loss than Urban Meyer combined at Florida and Ohio State. Urban Meyer had 24 between the two schools.
and
two at Utah.
83-9 at Ohio State.
Yeah, 26, and then Bowling Green 17-6. But as far as Power Four, Mountain West wasn't really Power Four, but Utah's now a Power Four school. Yeah, 26 losses at major programs. Yeah, Mike Norvell. He'll reach that this year.
To get back to the Cam Ward thing, that is the worry, that they just blow him out by too much. And
he doesn't have to throw the football at all.
Especially if they're blowing him out by running the ball. And then, I don't know.
But
I don't know if Mario Cristobal is going to want to.
The question will be, the thought is Mario will try to run it up. Because back in 2022, Florida State put it on Miami. Surprisingly enough, Tyler Van Dyke was hurt. He tried to go out there and give it a go, got hurt, and then Miami put in Ja'Cory Brown, who's now at UCF, and Florida State put a big number on them because Miami didn't know what a counter was, apparently. Shout out to Kevin Steele. Couldn't stop a counter run. But
Kevin Steele's like, how did I catch a stray today?
Because you were the DC for that team who couldn't stop the counter. But the thought is Mario may want to put up a big number because he can. And also, we got a Heisman candidate. Are they going to really limit his numbers so much?
That's a good point.
When you have a Heisman candidate tied, I think he's tied with Ginty in some spots for the betting favorite. So I would go over 248 for multiple reasons. Rivalry game, particularly if Florida State's going three and out, Miami's going to have a lot of opportunities. So even if they are scoring by running, they're going to throw the ball some too. Hell, they threw the ball. They could have run all over Ball State and FAMU and still threw the ball all over the yard. So that gives you an indication that they might want to do that anyway. So
now you have to worry about it's a rivalry game throughout all the record books. These guys grew up playing against each other.
I hate
Del,
when they say
did you
that.
Know, did you know that?
Yes, I've heard that
These
before.
South Florida guys.
I've heard that before, but also I will tell you this. Florida State does a lot of recruiting in South Georgia and obviously Northern Florida, Central Florida. Miami doesn't really get into those areas and recruit those guys. Also, Miami's like 8 of Miami's 11 starters on defense are transfers who aren't from the state of Florida. So when they say that, when inevitably
Cam Ward is lining up against guys he played in high school.
So inevitably when they say that, I'm like, Tyler Barron comes from Tennessee. Simeon Barrow's from Michigan State. Let's go. Mauinoa played at Washington State. No, they're not lining up against guys they grew up playing against.
Damian Martinez is going to have a chip on his shoulder from Louisville, Texas.
Exactly. Can't believe what Knowles was saying to him, the DB from Florida State, in their ever-present rivalry game. The guy's never met the man before, but they're going to say that over and over again. In the world of transfers now, that's got to stop. when a lot of teams build up, particularly in the state of Florida. Florida State takes transfers. Miami does. Florida does, not to the level that Miami and Florida State have over the last couple of years. That's out the window. These guys grew up playing against each other. Not the starters. Maybe some of the young players, because those are high school recruits. All right. We'll get to Eric here before we go to break. Eric, what's up?
Hey, Dale. What do you think the chances are of Miami winning the national championship this year? And have you seen the movie Venom yet? Have you heard anything good about it? I'll hang up and listen.
I guess you're talking about Venom Last Dance. I have not seen it. I haven't even seen the second one yet. I haven't seen Let There Be Carnage yet. Sean gives it a big thumbs up.
I give the first one a big thumbs
up. What about Let There Be Carnage?
1.5 thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Instead of 2 thumbs up, 1.5 thumbs up?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I guess 1 thumb up, 1 thumb sideways. Shout out to Gladiator.
Very commodus of you, yes.
A lot of things are very common. No, not that many things are commonest about me.
Lusting after a relative?
We don't have that much in commonest.
Okay. Well, I would say well done, but really, if I had the power, I'd turn off your mic for that, but I can't, so.
I think Venom, The Last Dance, comes out tonight, right?
Yeah, so no, I have not seen that movie. Michael Carroll might have a review. I'm not sure if he was able to watch it earlier.
I know he's,
or maybe he'll watch it tonight.
I know he's seeing it this weekend because, believe it or not, Michael Carroll and I have talked about this movie off.
I've heard the conversations on air, which would lead me to believe, of course, you've talked about it off mic.
He's seeing it this weekend. I don't know if he's seeing it tonight. I won't be able to watch it this weekend, so no spoilers, please. To anyone out there, don't spoil
The Last Dance for me. Yeah, please don't do that for Sean.
I might see it on Monday though.
I don't know when or if I'll see it, but since it's such a big part of people on the show, I guess I'll have to watch Let There Be Carnage first.
Yeah. Can that be the Thursday night?
It's only 1.5 hours. Okay, that's actually not bad. I thought it was like a 2.5 hour movie, Let There Be Carnage.
That's why all these movies are great.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I don't know.
I just assume it's going to be a general comic book movie and take forever.
They get you out like 2:15.
Nice.
At the longest.
1 hour and 37 minutes. Okay, then I'll put that on the schedule before the end of the week. That's the way to get me to watch Let There Be Carnage. Tell me it's under 1 hour 40 minutes.
I should have led with that.
Yeah. As far as the Miami winning a national title thing, it's funny that they're having their best year, and it's the most difficult way it could be. You have to win how many games? 16 games? If you get a bye,
yeah. Which they will.
Come on. Well, they got to beat Clemson in the ACC title game. That's no guarantee there. But thank you for the confidence in Mario Cristobal, which I can't summon.
I did notice that Eric has gone from
Texas and Miami to just Miami.
Yeah. That hurt my feelings
a
little.
What happened, Eric?
Yeah. I get they have to be at least a 3-week suspension from being in the national.
But honestly, despite the loss, I would take Texas having a better opportunity than Miami if I had to
really?
Pick between the two. Yes, Texas and their defense is much better, at least what we've seen so far. The question for Miami is: are they Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, or are they going to pull off what LSU did in 2019 when their defense wasn't great and then they picked it up when it mattered most and became opportunistic? I feel like Miami's more like Lincoln Riley Oklahoma, which means a real good shot at making a playoff, particularly in a 12-team era, but not a real chance of winning a title despite having a special quarterback. So
I wish Texas had Cam Ward. Okay.
I bet. I bet you do.
I feel so much better.
You would likely be undefeated and the clear runaway favorite to go win a national title. I would say Miami's chances at winning a national title as the season continues to move along and they continue to win games. Right now, at 7-0 with the rest of their schedule, maybe I give it 15%. Maybe 15%. If their defense can find a way. And you won't really know much because they're playing like Florida State and maybe Georgia Tech without their quarterback and Duke, who's not very good offensively. Now, you mentioned Syracuse earlier in the week. That game's later in the day, the last game of the year before a potential ACC title game.
Third best quarterback in the ACC.
Kyle McCord is their quarterback.
Maybe second one.
Possibly.
Kate Klubnik. That's you I'm talking about.
My shot's directed at you, Kate Klubnik.
A lot of people in their cars are like,
who the hell? Who's Sean talking about? Who's
Eli Holstein?
Who's Kyle? Yeah, Eli Holstein, who has not played well the last couple weeks. Big game, speaking of that. Pitt versus, SMU's going to Duke.
It's Pitt-Syracuse.
Pitt-Syracuse. that's a big one.
We'll settle who's the third and fourth best or a second best quarterback on the field.
So the ACC has some games, and the game of the team that Eric mentioned, Miami, they got a game against Florida State. It's a primetime slot, and the Miami's breaking out their special black and orange uniforms. So,
ooh, I don't love that.
I like a more traditional look against Florida State.
Hey, that's if you want to break that out against Duke, knock yourself out.
But how many – can they guarantee night games?
And Virginia Tech. They should have done it against Virginia Tech. Was that a home game?
Yeah, it was a home game at night. But so I guess it's part, hey, how many more night games are we going to get?
And honestly, this one could have
– this one could have been 11 a.m.
They could have flexed that one out.
Yeah, but they made it a night game, so Miami said, let's rock them here before we don't have the opportunity. So that's happening. We'll see if the curse of the alternate uniforms pops up. That's Drew. He wants to talk about how I feel about DC Comics. You know what the show's about. Anything you guys want to talk about, we'll get to. You can ask Sean about it, too. How does he feel about DC? We'll find that out when we come back. We will get to the CJ Stroud sound here as well. He talked about the Colts in the second matchup. So a lot to get to here before we wrap it up. And also, we got a giveaway, so stay tuned for that. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Let's get to Drew here, and then we'll get to CJ Stroud and his comments. You guys want to call in? 713-780-3776. Drew, what's up?
Yeah, how you doing, man? I've been listening to y'all's show like for the past probably 2 years now, and I like your show too, man. You're doing it for the brothers, man. But the reason why I called or whatever is because I was wondering, have y'all looked at the Justice League new cartoons or whatever HBO? Like some of the crises, like they trying to do pretty much the same thing with pretty much the Marvel Comics trying to do with the Secret Wars or whatever. But I think they kind of messed it up a little bit. Like on the last three movies or whatever, it kind of got like too far into it. Like, how do you feel about that?
You know,
about the Flashpoint in Justice League thing?
I will say, I'll speak to this. I have not seen those yet. They're on the schedule, much like now Let There Be Carnage is, but I haven't got to them. I know what you're talking about. Obviously, they did some of that in the movie The Flash. So I'll get to them. So I don't want to say anything one way or the other about them before I watch them. But as far as how I feel about DC, I wasn't a big DC comic guy, mostly because how I got into comics was cartoons on Fox. And a lot of that stuff was Marvel related, whether it be the Spider-Man show or X-Men. So DC, I just know them as movie characters. But yeah, maybe I'll give a review at some point. Michael Carroll, who joins us every Friday, will probably have something to say. So I'll get that question to him if you're listening tomorrow at 11:30. I appreciate it, Drew. Thanks for the compliments as well. Sean and I appreciate them. Sean's doing it for the brothers, too.
I appreciate you,
sir. I just put Sean in an awkward spot on purpose. Thanks.
I don't think that, but I'm glad you think that.
Thank you, Drew. I'll have something for you on the Justice League cartoons on HBO Max at some point here. Okay, let's get to CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud up at the podium for his weekly availability. He was asked about the Colts and what's changed since the last time they saw him. And here's the Texans quarterback on the matchup for Sunday.
Rewatch the tape over. And just see the things that you left on the field, also the things you cleaned up. So, they're a new team. You know, they're playing really well. Came off a really hard fought win against Miami. So, we got to be on our A game and be able to handle business.
I know you.
I will say you don't have to be on your A game. I watched that Colts team play. A B game will be good enough. But don't lose it. That's all we're looking for. Last week we asked for you not to be embarrassed, and they came through. I mean, the offense, at least the passing offense, kind of embarrassed everyone, but the game itself was a close one. Just win the game. I don't care how it's done. because nothing that they can do against the Colts is going to change my mind about them. Like, if you blow out the Colts, it's a close game, whatever. You can chalk it up as if it's a close game where you kind of muddle your way through as division game. You're a little beat up. Nico's not around. You found a way to win. The Colts have given you tough games since DeMeco has been here. You lose to them, then we have a bigger conversation. But even if you blow them out, I'm already here saying the Colts aren't good. Now, the number doesn't say you should blow them out, but you blow them out, good. A nice bounce back. But the Texans and how they are defined will be later in the year, and obviously whenever they make the playoffs and how far they go. So just get the win. This is one of those games where I don't buy into that survive and advance thing, mostly because I hate it when it's used outside of the NCAA tournament. But this one, just survive.
Outside of anything where it's like literally, not literally survive in advance, but
well, when it's single elimination, yes.
Move on.
Win and you move on. Oh, I hate when people say that about it. Use that that phrase when it's not that specific scenario. But win the game. Just survive. Don't care how you do it. Get the 6-2, and then we can discuss how this division is pretty much wrapped up and how you're going to attack the rest of the year after 8 games. So as far as what the keys, Richardson in the pocket again, limit the big plays. In fact, I wouldn't mind him making quick decisions because he's not great when he doesn't hold the football. When he holds the ball, that's when it gets a little scary because maybe he'll uncork one.
Yeah, he can launch it.
Yeah, maybe he decides to take off and run because your rush lanes have been compromised because he's been back there so long. It'll be interesting to see how the Texans rush him this week because they've had – well, Jordan Love can move a little bit, but he's not looking to run. And you had Drake May, another guy who's little mobile, but once again, a guy who's not looking to break off
sneaky
runs.
Athletic.
Yeah, I didn't call him that. I'm not calling him that.
I'm calling him sneaky athletic. You look at him, you don't think he's that fast.
You don't have to lean into it all the way. You could just say sneaky athletic. Watch out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 3rd and 8, he can get that.
He's not looking to, but he can if he's forced to.
This is his last option.
Yeah, because he's
a pocket passer.
He wants to hang in the pocket, make his reads, but he can if he needs to. So you got to be careful with Drake May. No, you don't. We saw Drake May.
He's pretty good.
No, he's not.
Right. He's doing all right.
He should have thrown 2 picks against the Jags. They were both drops. That's the crazy thing. One of the now that I'm off of my Drake May hate tangent, there was one of the he used to work for The Ringer. Now he works for ESPN. His name's Benjamin Solak. He's one of the film guys who puts clips up online. But he's actually that's his job as opposed to people who are doing it. Hey, look at CJ on this play. What he could have done. His job is to break down film. And he talked about how Drake May had played well. And I thought to myself, so when he threw 2 balls right into Jags' hands that they dropped, does that mean he played well? When those are two clear turnover-worthy plays that would have gone down on his stat sheet? Because the film would have been the same if those passes were caught by Jags, but the stats would have told you he threw 2 picks, and now you can't make your video because everyone's going to say, wait a minute, I saw those picks. Those were terrible. You can't tell me you played well when that's now 5 turnovers in 2 games.
He knows what he can get away with the Jags.
Guys will drop balls.
Yeah.
Stonehand Jacks.
I can get away with that. Look, he just dropped it.
No, I don't.
Incomplete.
Look, Drake may be a good processor, but he's not processing that. I can throw this ball right at Andre Sisco. He's going to drop it. What do I care? I'll take a shot. He won't catch it.
Right in the numbers.
Yeah, so that's just part of the grift. I don't. Grift may be strong, but you're gonna push Drake May because that gives you numbers, that does numbers for you. And then you're going to tell people he played well and ignore the obvious issues he had because no one's going to remember them because they didn't show up in the stats. But I remember because I'm a hater. Less for Drake May than more about the agenda pushing Drake May as the next great young quarterback. I'm not having it. I saw that man in North Carolina. Man was getting his ass kicked by Georgia Tech and Virginia. You can't fool me. Maybe a lot of you didn't demean yourselves by watching a lot of ACC football. I did demean myself. And I saw that guy play. He's fine.
That is a big mark against. I don't know if it's a mark against him or
Mac Brown.
I was going to say UNC football.
Okay.
The fact that he would lose to Georgia Tech and UVA.
Yeah, and NC State. Now NC State's been a good program up until this year.
That's not as embarrassing.
That's not as embarrassing. But he had one of his worst games of his career against NC State. And it was like, oh, Drake May, generational prospect. What are you watching?
He made some stuff happen with his legs.
Man, yeah. I get why people like him. He's big. He wears the number 10. A lot of people have visions of Justin Herbert in their head. I get it. But I ain't the one, though.
Mina Kimes on a podcast said that CJ Stroud, she's worried that he might be in like the Justin Herbert zone of he's making so many, like the offense around him is basically letting him down and he's having to keep his head above water. And I was like, I do not like my quarterback being compared to Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert is the guy all the football people love. And it's always everyone else's fault for why it's not going well. It's always Joe Lombardi or Kellen Moore and now Greg Roman. It's now his fault. And obviously the lack of weapons this year. But the man started his career with Keenan Allen in his prime and Mike Williams, who obviously always is hurt, but he was there.
He got six games a year.
A productive player.
Williams,
yeah. So, and he had Austin Eckler before the wheels fell off. So he had a pretty good setup there. Cut it out. Everyone loves Justin Herbert. Now, I know wins aren't all about quarterbacks. You have to have a team that's a defense, all those things. But everyone still remembers that game against the Raiders, that winner-take-all game that actually could have been a tie and they both would have made the playoffs.
Tie-take-all?
Yeah, instead.
Win or tie.
Win or tie, and you make the playoffs. Instead, the Raiders won. And everyone still remembers all the plays he made. And the promise of those plays, and like, yeah, Justin Herbert. And yet, what are we now? Two coaches fired, multiple coordinators out, and now what Jim Harbaugh decided to do. You know what we're going to do? We're going to minimize your impact. We're going to stop counting on you as a quarterback and run the ball. You know Malik Nabers is available? We'd rather take Joe Alt, because you know what we want to do? Make you less important.
Yeah.
We want to run the ball and play defense.
You could be my J.J. McCarthy.
Exactly. Exactly. Let Jim Harbaugh get a hold of Ashton Jeanty. Just watch Justin Herbert's numbers if they find a way to draft Ashton Jeanty next year.
That'd be great. I mean, every Ashton Jeanty team would be great.
Yeah.
Because there is something. I get, can't draft running back in the first round, the value, whatever. There is something about just adding an awesome running back to your football team that just – you're like, nope, this team makes way more sense now that you can run the ball, throw it to him. I mean, you see it with Joe Mixon. Like, we spend all this time being like, Joe Mixon, are we sure that's a deal worth making?
And he gets here.
Extension, we'll see about the extension. Yeah. But at least this year, and he gets here. And, yeah, like you said, the offense runs at its best with him or him and Nico. Like, those are the two of the three most important players on the Texans offense. And one of them's a 28-year-old running back.
Yeah. So,
running backs do matter.
If you get an awesome one, they really do matter.
And Joe Mixon made the first shot at the Rockets game last night.
He did. Joe Mixon, not just a big time running back. Yeah.
He made as many shots as Dylan Brooks last night.
And the problem is, he only made three less than Fred VanVleet.
I was going to Fred VanVleet, but I was like, he made a couple down the stretch.
He didn't make a couple big jumpers.
For a while, he was like 0 for 10 or something. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
It was going poorly. The Rockets did not put out a good effort in the second half. We'll hear from...
They let Joe Mixon down.
They let the city down, Sean.
Let us all down.
What was the arrows line, the green arrow?
I don't know.
You have let down. Something about let down. It said DCC, Drew, don't know a lot. I just know that series. And he had some line about letting down the city. We'll hear from Albert Shingun about... It's just one game, guys. We didn't really let down the city. We'll hear from him, the performance, and what the Rockets need to do to get better. Albert Shingun when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really.
Well, Michael Carroll will be in the studio tomorrow. Where I won't be. I will be out in Porter for a Bobcat grand opening. Gaunt and George will follow me out there as well. The grand opening of the Bobcat in Porter. So John and Lance will be here. Sean will produce their show, and then I'll be out there from 10 to 12 with Sean back here. And then 12 to 3, Gallant and George. Michael Carroll will be here at 11:30, and we'll do our weekly TV pop culture segment at that time. We've got tickets available for the Cougs versus the Aggies. That is a charity basketball game that's happening in town on Sunday. It's to donate some of the proceeds to Barrel Relief. That storm is still affecting people. Kind of the way storms operate. It's not just that first day or the first week. The damages to homes can last, and people are still recovering. So we're trying to do a good thing here, get people out there. And like I said, the proceeds are for Barrel Relief. But we're giving you a chance to go out there for free. Four tickets right now. Caller 573-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the Cougs versus the Aggies. It's a exhibition game. The Aggies are coming in to the Fertitta Center, and Buzz Williams and Kelvin Sampson joined John and Lance. Well, Buzz Williams was on yesterday. Kelvin Sampson was on today. And it appears they're taking a bit of a different approach to the game. Buzz Williams is treating it, at least he told us, like a regular game. We're going to operate the way we always do. Kelvin Sampson's like, you know what? I'm probably going to play some of my young players, even if it's close late, because this is a chance for me to get some of those guys meaningful reps. Not that the guys won't play hard, but the strategy apparently will be a little bit different for the two coaches, just different priorities. But you can go out and watch two good programs in the state of Texas go at it. We got a caller and our winner here. But it's at 4 p.m. at Fertitta Center. Proceeds from the game will benefit the Greater Houston Disaster Alliance Hurricane Barrel Recovery Fund, which assists those who are affected by the storm. Tickets are available at uhcougars.com/tickets. And we're doing a giveaway here. And it's going to be a good time. You got the Texans in the afternoon, hopefully. You'll watch that game. If you're not going to it, you'll watch Texans and Colts, see a win, and then you can go out and watch Aggies versus Cougs in a good basketball game. All right, got that done. There was a basketball game last night that didn't go our way, unless you are a Hornets fan. By the way, I did see a couple of Hornets fans highlight it, because the way I watch games, I did have the Houston broadcast. For some reason, they were the Space City Home Network broadcast, but I was watching it through some means that I won't speak to. And there are a couple Hornets fans in the crowd. I think Ryan Holland said he went up to them and talked to them, and they were pretty confident. It couldn't have been Ryan Holland's. It was the Houston feed, allegedly, but it was the Charlotte broadcast for some reason. League Pass had me messed up, I guess. And the Charlotte guy was like, I went up to those guys, and they had faith. They had faith that we were going to win. He did say we. And those two lone Hornets fans and their LaMelo Ball jerseys were right, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Not surprising it's LaMelo Ball jerseys. I feel like there's a lot more LaMelo Ball jerseys on people's backs than there are self-identifying Charlotte Hornets fans. I feel like he's one of those guys.
He might be one of those players who fans will follow from team to team if it happens. Yeah. But they will root for LaMelo wherever he is. I would pick a different player. But we had Lazy J call in and talk about how he's a winning player. How's he not a winning player? Well, he's never won anything. Oh. How about that?
Hmm. Made two play-ins. All right.
How do those games go?
They lost.
Not just lost.
They got blown out.
Yeah, there it is. Was he even playing in those games?
He played in at least one of them.
Okay, you remember seeing him out there getting blown out.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think he played that well.
No. So he was a winning player last night. He was the best player on the floor. Nearly a triple-double. The Rockets' presumed best player is Alperen Şengün. In postgame, he was asked about the game and what's next. Here's Alperen Şengün on the loss to the Hornets.
Yeah, you know, when you're losing games like this, end of the game, of course, the frustration is the first game in the home. So, but we can get it back. It's just 8-1 game left, you know. We got to learn. We got to watch movie, film, all that things, you know. We come back strong as Friday.
Friday, they have the Grizzlies in town. The Grizzlies, who held off the Jazz. The Grizzlies were up big in that game. The Jazz fought back. The Grizzlies wound up winning that one. So, Rockets want to try to avoid going 0-2. They have a Grizzlies team who is relatively healthy because Jaren Jackson didn't play in that game. We'll see. I don't think he'll be available against the Rockets either, but they do have Ja. They do have Desmond Bane. And they do have Zach Edey, who's now their starting center until Jaren Jackson Jr. is back. So try to avoid going 0-2. Got a good opponent in town. Rockets are up double digits at the half, and they just were awful in the third and fourth quarters. And Trey Mann, LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges all did enough. And Nick Richards in the middle was a bully. And they blocked they had 10 blocks against the Rockets. And Alperen Sengun, who started off well, had a really good first half, petered out in the second half and did not play very much down the stretch until like the last 2 minutes. Ime got him in because their offense was struggling. And here's what Ime said about it. As the lead was evaporating, he favored favored defensive switchability with Amen Thompson in the game. He also said he wanted to get Alpi rest. So that led to him missing time, but also just the fact that he is a liability. And if you're struggling offensively anyway, there's not a real reason for your coach to put you in the game. And it's interesting because this will be a conversation throughout the year. The Rockets in their closing five. Because you believe your best and highly paid player should be out there, but I don't believe that's how Ime Udoka will operate. We saw it in game one. So what if Alperen Sengun just got an extension? He's not playing well. He'll sit. And I'll sit him as long as I think I need to, and we'll just go with it. So as far as having a set five, I don't think we're really going to see that other than Fred VanVleet. I think that's the guy, considering how poorly he shot leading up until he made a couple shots late. He played a lot of minutes. I think he's going to be a guy you can probably consider a staple. But anyone else? Dylan Brooks is your wing defender. Maybe throw him in there too. But all the other spots may be up for grabs. Jalen Green didn't shoot the ball well, but who were the other options? Was Cam Whitmore someone you expected to be a knockdown guy and run good offense late in that game? Probably not. So maybe Jalen Green becomes that guy who you depend on as your designated scorer. So you have your facilitator in VanVleet, Jalen Green, and then Dylan Brooks.
And when they were trying to, when they were going back and forth late in the game, they were drawing up plays for Jalen. He made an and one, yeah, and made a mid-range jumper.
When they put Alpi back in the game, they had some two-man game stuff where he played off Alpi and got to the bucket and then made a jumper. So that's where they found their points that way.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately what they should be doing, is two-man game with either Fred or Jalen with Sengun. I think that's probably where you're going to get most of your late-game offense, just putting the ball in your three best players' hands, or at least your three best scorers' hands.
Yeah, and find your wing defense from Brooks, and then maybe it's Amen.
Yeah,
or Jabari, depending on the size. But maybe we're looking at Brooks and Amen as your wing defenders, and you have to kind of cover up for Sengun because you know he will likely get attacked when it comes down to it. If a team needs a bucket, particularly if they have a big time on ball player. Sengun will be putting a lot of actions when they're looking to score, and he's just going to have to hold up better, or Ime just sits him, which you don't want, considering how much you're going to depend on him offensively.
It is funny they had, what, like 25 and 18, and we're like, yeah.
Well, it was 19 and what, maybe?
10, 11?
It was at least double digit rebound. 19 and 12, so he certainly didn't have
the first half.
He certainly didn't have a great second half, and he had that bad turnover. He saw Trey Mann in a good position defensively and tried to go behind his back and just lost the ball.
You know what that was? That was Steven Silas Rockets right there. That one play was just.
You know how I know you're right about that is because when he did it, I remember when I watched Rockets under Steven Silas, I go oof a lot. I did that then. Oof. Oh boy.
I was like, oof.
Yeah, that was not good.
You cannot have that happen.
And he had some issues ball handling throughout the game. I saw a couple of times he was loose with his dribble, and that one was at a most inopportune time. So, Alperen Sengun, good player, just didn't have a great second half, and part of the reason the Rockets go down. Okay.
Yeah, it's not good that Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun played the best on the Rockets, and they both had stretches where you're like, come on.
And you wouldn't say they played great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jalen played pretty well. Just the shots didn't go down. But, like, I thought he was taking good shots.
It's a problem for him because as a scorer, and people are going to look at him as what else does he bring to the table, it's going to be tough to have bad shooting nights and people to evaluate your game completely and go, oh, well, he took the right shots. He competed defensively. But when we see you as you're supposed to be a guy who goes and gets buckets, and if you don't get them, the evaluation of your play is going to be probably a little unfair. But I guess all you have to say is take the right shots. You hope Pitt's talent will show through and those shots will go down. So while the game wasn't great, I wouldn't consider us hating on the Rockets. We have another nomination for Hater of the Week. We'll play when we come back. Kawhi Leonard didn't play in the opener for the Clippers. They had a good one. Went to OT against the Suns. The Suns found a way to win that one. Well, Stephen A. Smith, maybe a new nomination for Hater of the Week. We'll hear him and his thoughts on Kawhi when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We played sound from Tillman Fertitta yesterday talking about how he would consider the deals given to Şengün and Green were strictly team-friendly. It's the sound an owner. It's a reasonable sound to play from an owner when he's the one cutting a check. So we played that yesterday. But at least those two guys played. They got new deals and were available. Kawhi Leonard got a deal this offseason, a big one. They gave him an extension, and they did not give Paul George one. And that, well, at least a max extension, full years, full money. And that's why Paul George is now not playing for the Sixers right now. But Kawhi was sitting on the sideline in that new building, watching his team go out there and compete really hard against the Suns, just couldn't come through at the end. But I believe, did Harden miss a free throw that would given them a lead or tied it or something? And either way, that game goes overtime, and the Suns wound up winning. So, Stephen A. had some thoughts on Kawhi. Now, Sean, I haven't heard it. I heard the start. I saw the caption. So I'm listening to this blind. But considering the context of the sound, it might be a real nomination for Hater of the Week. We will see. Here's Stephen A. on Kawhi's absence.
Etc. So I'm going to say it for the last time. He is a superstar when he is healthy. On the basketball court, easily, as far as I'm concerned, a top five player on the planet. That's why a superstar is appropriate when it comes to talking about his skill set. I can make a legitimate argument that Kawhi Leonard is the worst superstar in the history of any sport. You can't have somebody like that and it's beneficial. Who's going to miss work half the time and does absolutely nothing to promote your product or your brand. He is a poster child for what not to be as a star in any sport, period. And I mean it. And had I seen him in the arena last night, him and his uncle and everybody else in between, I'd have told him to their face.
That's not true.
The worst. The worst.
You're not saying that. No one does that in real life to someone that they have any type of relationship with.
Him and his uncle.
He's not doing that.
Bring Uncle Dennis over
here. He's not saying that. He may say hello, what's up. He is not calling him the worst superstar in the history of sports. There's no chance.
The history of all sports.
Yeah, cut it out.
Cricket.
I mean, stop it.
Soccer.
It is why he's worth what he's worth to ESPN, that clip. It is thoroughly entertaining. Even that giant lie at the end. It's thoroughly entertaining.
That's one of the most entertaining parts.
Yeah.
Is picturing him walking up to him and his uncle. And
yeah, just having a conversation. Like
putting his finger in his chest.
Do you think that would be the goal of his conversation? To go up there and have it? Or would he, after some hello, what's up, just casually slide it in? Or would it just pop up? Like, hey, by the way, before I go, I just got to say this to you. No way. There's no chance. No one acts like that in real life.
Hey, you know you're the worst superstar.
Yeah, look, this may be out of pocket, but I gotta get this off my chest.
Real,
yeah, I gotta talk to you about how you don't. The fact that he brought up he doesn't promote the Clippers is interesting. I hadn't really thought about it like that. I thought about, hey, they're paying you a lot of money. You're a superstar. You're not playing, but he doesn't promote them. And of course, you want your stars to push the product. And in this case, the product is Clippers basketball. I didn't know that was a thing. I know that's not his personality. But, yeah, that probably ain't great for Steve Ballmer. You're not going to play. You're not going to be in our promotional materials either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's in promotional stuff. Yeah. Like he's in the NBA, which is hilarious, but he's in the NBA tip-off commercial.
Well, that's for the NBA. I don't know if locally when the Clippers are running stuff, is he in that stuff? I don't know. But apparently Stephen A. knows.
He's not giving a lot of interviews.
Yeah, I would say Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, I would say that was pretty standard until he called him the worst superstar in the history of all sports.
And then I'll say it to his face.
So you go. He definitely is nominated for Hater of the Week.
Yeah, him and
Roger and who else did we play? Oh, Joe Flacco yesterday.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah. So those are our three. Once again, we'll probably
submission's still open.
We're still open. We'll decide. I'm going to be out. So maybe we wait. Maybe we do that at a different time when I'm in the studio. I'll be doing a show, but not in the studio. So that'll be something we do going forward. We'll take nominations throughout the week, and eventually, like on a Friday, we'll just wrap it up. Compilation of everything said, and we'll vote on who the hater of the week is. And
biggest hater, Dell on Porter.
Yeah, you heard me on Drake May.
Oh.
Well, it's a talk about Drake May, not just Drake May.
I thought you were at just Porter, Texas. Biggest hater.
I've never been to Porter, Texas.
Oh, okay.
So I can't hate on it. I just know it's a long ways away from my home.
Mm. It's a hike.
Yes. So I'll go there. We're there for Bobcat, not just me, but Gallant and George as well. It's a grand opening, so happy to be there. I've just never been. So I'll figure it out today. We'll do the show from there from 10 to 12. All right. That music means we're done for the day. We'll do more college football stuff tomorrow as we said before, it's a good weekend in the sport. A lot of intriguing matchups. Probably the most dangerous one for a ranked team is maybe as far as a potential big upset. Sean's Longhorns going into Vandy. We've seen it before. Be on the lookout. So we'll talk more about that and all the other games tomorrow. So since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I will talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.